Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. First time that I've been to this church, to this area, as far as Macedonia. I think I've been to one of the other churches in this association before, but I've never been to this association meeting. And I very much desire your prayers this afternoon. I greatly appreciate those that are here. Having the children here, the mothers that are here. I know from the experience of my own children how taxing the afternoon service can be for them sometimes, and I very much appreciate and admire your desire to be here for an afternoon service. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you that we will be blessed to worship together this afternoon. And we'll be try to be mindful of the time this afternoon and give these brethren that are to follow us plenty of time. I appreciate the brethren that are here, the ministry. It's good to be with them. It's good to see the brethren that are here at this location. I'd like to read to you from the 127th Psalm. If you have your Bibles with you, you'd like to read with me. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This verse is very important to us today. The writer tells us the very basic principle of the sovereignty of God. He says, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. So except the Lord is behind the building, except the Lord is the architect of the building, except the Lord is the power of the building, everything that goes into the building is in vain.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things for us to think about because this covers every area of our life.
Yeah.
Now, in the scriptures, we have at least three different houses that are discussed.
Yeah.
The first house is our individual life. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God?
That's right.
That God dwells within you. He also said in 2 Corinthians, he said, for as much as we know, it says for it. So let me go and read it because I'm... my quoter, I think I must have had too much sugar this afternoon, so I'm going to go and read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Yeah.
So our tabernacle, our house, our life, our body is a house. We have the heavenly house. But we're going to concentrate on the earthly houses today. He said, we know if our earthly house were to be dissolved. He said, we have a house of God, house that is not made with hands in the heavens. But we have an earthly house. And then we find that Joshua tells us, he said to his brethren when they were questioning who they were going to serve, and he said to them, if it seem evil to you this day. Now, notice what he said. If it's evil to you to serve God, then you have a choice. But if it's not evil to you to serve God, if it's not unreasonable, if it's not in your mind wrong to worship God, then you really don't have a choice. He says, but if it seem evil to you, choose you this day whom you will serve, the gods of our fathers before the flood, or the God of Israel, our God. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua's family is considered a house. David said it like this in I believe it's 2 Samuel. He said, although my house might be so with God. Although my family, although my life, although the two houses that I have, although they be not so with God. He said, yet, he finishes that by telling us that yet God has had mercy upon him, yet God has made promises to him that he's not going to change, that he's not going to take away, that he's not going to remove, even though I've made shipwreck of my life at this point in time.
Right.
And then the third house is the house of God. The house of God. This house.
Right.
You are building up. You are God's building. What was the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians? He said that God had given him grace as a master builder because ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
Amen.
Ye are the building of God. Now, he's talking to the individuals that make up the house of God. So let's consider, except the Lord build the house.
That's right.
Now, in the Old Testament, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, and He gave Moses the plan of His purpose to build the tabernacle. And when God did that, He did not leave any room for dispute. He did not leave any room for question. He did not leave any detail to be interpreted by Moses. But God laid out in distinct detail every inch of His tabernacle, exactly how it was to be designed, exactly how it was to be built, that not a hand was to touch it, not a hand was to touch anything that went into the tabernacle nor the temple once it got to that location, that all the work was to be done before. But God laid out in great detail exactly how the tabernacle was to be designed. He told them exactly how the altar, exactly how the, exactly how the temple and the tabernacle both. He gave great detail and He did exactly like He wanted to do it. You know, when Israel got in trouble when they didn't do things the way God told them to do it.
That's right.
Except the Lord build the house. When Israel built the tabernacle exactly like God designed it, exactly like God commanded, God told them, He said, if you will follow my command, I will bless you. He said, your enemies, He said, they will be at peace with you. He said, you will overcome your enemies. He said, you will not be overcome by anyone. If you follow my command, you will be blessed in it. But He said, if you don't, He said, you'll be overcome by your enemies. He said, you'll be devoured with the sword. He said, I'll bring pestilence upon you. He said, I'll bring judgment upon you if you don't follow my command. So you see, as the text says here, if the Lord is not the builder of the house, if the Lord is not honored in the building of the house, if the Lord is not followed in the building of the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain.
That's right.
Because everything that they did, everything Israel did when they were building up their lives, when they were building up their homes, when they were building up the worship of the Lord, when they were doing it according to what they wanted to do, it failed. But when they followed the command of the Lord, they prospered. It's a simple principle. But God will have it His way. That's the point. God has designed His house. And if we don't like the way He's designed His house, Israel didn't like the way that the house was designed. In many occasions, they brought things from this world into the temple, into God's house, and they defiled His house to the point that He brought judgment upon them and allowed their enemies to destroy the very temple that they had built up. You understand this morning that when the temple was destroyed, when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple and burned the temple and did and brought that destruction to Jerusalem, it was because God's people had defiled that temple. God's people had neglected that temple. God's people had not honored God and how they worshiped Him, but they had brought what they wanted to do into God's house, and they had not followed the command of God, and what they had labored to do was vanity.
That's right.
So now we back up. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain at building. So there's some building. There's some building that we need to do. But we need to understand that the building that we do, God must first do His work before we can ever build anything. Because, you know, we look out in the cemeteries today and we don't see anybody that's in the cemetery building anything. Amen. You ever seen anybody that's in a casket building anything? You ever seen it? You know, people today, they talk about all this undead trash and, you know, all this stuff, people talking about zombies and all that trash that's out there. There's no such thing as a dead man doing anything. It's vanity. Once we're dead, we can't do anything in this present world. So if there's any building to be done, we must be alive first. You and I, when we build our homes, it's because we're living. When we build our lives here in this world, it's because we're living. I look at my children today and I see that their lives are being built. Their lives are being constructed. Their lives are being formed like a building is formed because they have life, because they are living, because they have that breath of life within their being. They can construct their life. But I want it to be constructed as God has commanded. So let's see. So we've got some building to do, but God must first give us life before we can build. Once God gives us life, once God borns us off His Spirit, once God places His nature within us and gives us the ability to construct, to build, then how are we going to build? That's the question. You know, God makes us fit to be a part of His house. He makes us fit building blocks in the temple of God. That's, you know, He said that we are a peculiar people, that we're a chosen generation. He said, you know, that we are lively stones, that as being lively stones, that we are to be builded together as God's house, as God's habitation. So the question is, how are we building? How are we constructing within our three houses? What are you constructing? So let's see now. Except the Lord build the house. So what that tells me, what that tells you, is that any constructing that you do, any building that you do, whether it's in your individual life, whether it's in your family, whether it's in God's house, any building that you do must be within the guidelines that God has laid down.
That's right.
If it does not fall within those guidelines, then everything that you build in all three areas is going to fail.
That's right.
That's what we need to remember. That's what we need to understand. So now let's turn over into the New Testament. And let's look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're talking about building. First Corinthians chapter 3. I made reference to this earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. Listen to what Paul says. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So Paul says that the foundation has been laid. And no man can lay any other foundation. No man can lay any other foundation except Jesus Christ. Now, what was it that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, talking to the Apostle Peter? He asked him, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And the Apostle Peter answered, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, what did Jesus tell him? He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven." And he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That rock, that foundation of your individual life, the rock that's the foundation of God's house, it should be the foundation of your family, is the very, very, very principle of the revelation of Jesus Christ as Son of God, as God Himself, as Savior, as Mediator, as Redeemer, as our very salvation, that God has revealed that to His children, is the very foundation of our lives.
Amen.
So you look at it. See, God revealed to Peter that this very one that was standing before him was the Son of God, was the Savior, was the one that was prophesied to come. God revealed that to him, and Jesus said, "It is upon this principle that my church will be built." This is the foundation of my church, Peter, is that I am the Son of God, that it is revealed to you. That's why we say, before we'll baptize anybody, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? It's the very basic principle of God's house. To be a repentant sinner. To be a sinner that understands that your salvation, that your home in heaven, is verily based upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus died for your sins. And that He raised again. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Because He rules and reigns today. Yet He lives forever.
Amen.
That's the principle. The foundation of God's house. Now, coming back to this, Paul told the Corinthians in the third, either the second or third chapter here. He said, "Brethren, I'm determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified." So the foundation that's laid. So we're talking about our houses. We're talking about the three houses. Your life, your family, and the house of God. The foundation for all three. The foundation, the solid foundation for all three is these two principles. That Jesus Christ saved you from your sins. And the man Christ Jesus, His life that He lived. Because, you see, in the life that He lived and the salvation of His people, both come together with the fact that He is God, that He is the Son of God, that He is our He is our King. He is our everything, the very fiber of our very lives, the very fiber of our church, the glue that holds it all together, the rock that it sets upon is this principle that God visited us in the flesh and lived a perfect, sinless life and died for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ and lives and reigns in heaven and is coming back for us. So we look at it. This foundation, everything that you have should be based upon those principles. Paul told us in Ephesians that God's house is builded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
That's right. Yeah.
He is the weight bearer for the house of God. He is where the weight of the house of God sets upon. It is held up. It is supported. It is strengthened by the very principle that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is eternal, that He is sovereign, that He is in fact successful in saving His people from their sins. So Paul said, no other foundation. If you expect to put your life, whether it's your individual life, it's the life of your family, or you want to call it a church, If you expect to put any house that you are a part of, if you expect to set it on top of anything other than this principle that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the Savior, then it's going to fail. What did Jesus say, I believe, in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of it? He talked about two people. He talked about the one man that was a hearer of His word and a doer of His word. And He said, I liken that man unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The same rock that's in Matthew chapter 16.
That's right.
The very same rock. Upon a rock, He said, when the storms came, the winds blew, the house stood in the middle of what? The fire that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The fire of tribulation, the fire of trouble, the fire of sorrow, the fire of the trying of your faith as you live in this sin-cursed world. When it stood in the midst of all those troubles, when it was established upon the principle of Jesus Christ. Second man. He said the second man established his house upon the sand. And He said the same things happened to that man. And He said his house failed. When fire came, that man had built with wood, hay, and stubble, had built with the things of this world, and had established his house, had established his life, had established his family upon the principles that this world provides. And when troubles came, he found lacking. He was found lacking. His life was destroyed. His life was misery. His life crumbled down around him like a house does when it has no foundation. So here's the question. God has commanded us how we ought to build up our lives in this world according to His command. He's given us the tools. He's given us the ability. He's given us the command to do it. And now it's our command to go forward and to build up our lives in the service of God.
That's right.
And not just our individual life, but our families. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house. Boy, today some people would say, boy, he was being presumptuous, wasn't he? By saying that he and his wife and his children were going to serve the Lord. You know, people today want to tell you, hey, you can't tell your wife and your children how they ought to worship. Well, Joshua just did.
Yeah, right.
We as men ought to be leaders of our household. We ought not to be afraid to tell our children what is right and what is wrong. We ought not to be afraid to put our foot down and say, this is what the Word of God says. And we ought to be in God's house and building our families around God's Word.
Amen.
You know, our country, a lot of the troubles that our country has today is because men have not been fathers. Men have not been men. They have not stood upon the principles of God's Word. But what have they done? They have given that job to other people. So except the Lord build the house, how did the Lord design the family? Man is the head. The man is the head, both of providing naturally for his family and as providing the teachings of God's Word to his family. Bringing up the children and nurturing the admonition of the Lord. God didn't say, well, if you don't think you can do it, let your wife do it. No, God said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's how we are to build up our lives as fathers, being fathers, caring about our children, telling them that God's Word says that Jesus Christ is our all in all, telling them about it. You know, we understand. If anybody in this world understands, the old Baptists ought to understand. We can't teach our children and our families to know God. We can't teach them to have His Spirit. We can't teach them to have spiritual life. That's not possible. But what we are supposed to do is teach them about the things of God so that when God works in the heart, their hearts will line up with what's in their heads.
Right.
Because if they got trash in their head, when God works on the heart, That's when they have problems. We don't want them to have trash in their heads. So except the Lord built the house, they that build it labor in vain. So now he says, now if any man builds upon the foundation. So what does he mean to build upon the foundation? Because you and I, we can't improve upon the work of Jesus Christ. We can't, because that's finished. We can't improve upon what Jesus did. We can't make. We cannot do it better than Jesus did. He didn't leave anything for us to do as far as His work. But we're supposed to build upon the foundation. So, how do we do that? So the principle is this. Building upon the foundation is to apply the principles of the foundation. It's to use the strength of the foundation. It is to use the support of the foundation. It is to build upon the things that Jesus taught us. So let's look at that for a few minutes, because my time's fast approaching. So your life, your family, and the church, they are to be built upon the foundation of the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God as Lord and King, and the principles of His life. So what were the principles of the life of Jesus? Because Paul said to the Corinthian church, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They go hand in hand. You can't separate the man and the atonement. You can't separate the man and the sacrifice. They're all one. He's all one. So we look at Him as a man and Him and what He did and how He lived His life to be the perfect sacrifice. So what are the principles that Jesus taught us? The Apostle Paul said in the Philippian letter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the first thing to building your life, to building your family, to building the church. If we want all three of these to be in the command of God, in the image of Jesus Christ, if we want everybody to see the image of Jesus Christ in us, in our families, in our church, first principle is that our mind be the same as Christ. What was the mind of Christ? He was God, but He did not brag. He did not promote Himself. He was not a self-promoter, but He was a God-promoter. That's what Jesus did. So Jesus was God. He had all power. He was eternal. He had no faults. He had no failures. He had no weaknesses. But yet He did not promote Himself. He was constantly pointing to the Father. So that's the first point of his mind. Second point of his mind is that he was determined to do the will of his Father. He said that I came into this world not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise them up again at the last day. So the second point of Jesus' mind is He came to do the will of His Father. Are you today, as an individual, are you today as a family? Are you today as a church? Is that your goal? Is to do the will of the Father who has blessed you in such manner as God has. The mind of Christ. Christ was not afraid. Christ did not doubt. He did not worry. He did not fail. But He did the will of His Father. So, the second point is that Jesus prayed. Jesus was constantly praying. Jesus was constantly praying. And as he was praying not for his selfish things, but he was praying for his brethren. He was praying for his children. He was praying for selfless things. That's our example. That's how we as individuals, that's how we as families, that's how we as God's house should be performing, is praying that God would bless those around us. And we pray for ourselves. But let's ask others to pray for us. Let's not be too proud to ask others to pray for us. Amen. That's the principle, is that we want others to pray for us because prayer is effective. The next principle, Jesus Christ. patience. The Apostle Peter denied him three times, cursed the last time, told those Jews, I don't know the man, never saw it, don't know anything about it. And yet Jesus had patience with Peter. He said, I prayed for you. He said, Peter, I prayed for you because Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Jesus had patience with that man. Who in this room today, if somebody cursed them to their face and said, I don't know who you are, and they were as close to you as Peter and Jesus were, how many of us would ever speak to that person again? But Jesus embraced his brother. There's our example.
Amen.
There's our example. Another thing is Jesus had compassion. You know, when Jesus was healing all of his children that he healed while he was in his earthly ministry, he never went to anybody who didn't need something. He never went to anybody who was not in great need of him. And when he went to them, whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, whether it was the blind man, whether it was the deaf, whether it was the lame, whatever situation, when he was healing, he was having compassion upon those who were in need. He was having compassion upon those who could not do something for themselves. You know, we need to be a compassionate people. Next principle, Jesus Christ, is, I just had two things run through my head. The next principle, Jesus Christ, that I want to leave with you is that we need to have a proper view of ourselves. You know, we talk about total depravity. And the truth of total depravity, I don't think you and I begin to comprehend just how helpless we are without God. I don't think we comprehend it. But when we understand, when we view just how good God has been to us, and we see ourselves as being sinners, we see ourselves as being weak, we see ourselves as being in need ourselves, we ought to be practicing the principle. A man ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought.
That's right.
That when we, in all three houses, if we have the proper view of depravity, then we're going to practice. We're going to practice not being high-minded, not being impatient, not being self-righteous. You see, Jesus was not self-righteous. Jesus was not, as I said, self-promoting. Jesus was not selfish, but it was all about His Father. You know, we could go on and on all afternoon. But these principles, the last one that I just thought about, Jesus did not compromise.
That's right. That's right.
You know, Jesus threw the money changers out of his house and said, my house should be called a house of prayer. My house is called the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Jesus did not compromise when it came to his house. Let's understand this afternoon. We as God's children need to understand that Jesus is jealous over his house.
That's right.
We neglect it. We mistreat it. We begin to think that we know better than God does about how His house ought to be constructed. When we think God's house is outdated, we better be real careful. Because when Jesus is jealous of His house, we mistreat it, He's liable to throw us out of His house like He did the money changers. You know, He's not going to cast away His children. He's not going to take their home in heaven away from them. But I'll guarantee you this. If we mistreat His house, He'll take the blessings of this house away from us as long as we live. Because He is jealous over His house. I thank y'all for kind attention.
Amen. Amen.
Oh.